You're welcome back to the news at one. The Ulster Unionist Party is searching for a new leader, its seventh since the departure of David Trimble. In a statement announcing his resignation, Doug Beattie said it is now clear that some believe the momentum needed to keep the party moving in the right direction cannot come from me. The UUP has had a tough time since it was first surpassed by the DUP 20 years ago. However, it did return to Westminster at the most recent election with the success of Robin Swan in South Antrim. For more, we can talk to John Tong. He's Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool and co-author of a recent book on unionism. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In Doug Beattie's statement, he goes on to talk about irreconcilable differences with party officers. So what's been going on?
Well, basically, the Ulster Unionist Party is almost unmanageable. It's always been a largely autonomous party at the constituency level. You've had 18 sort of semi-autonomous constituency associations where the leadership writ only runs thinly. Doug Beattie has fallen out with some of those constituency associations in terms of candidate selections. He's also fallen out with his own leadership team within the Ulster Unionist Party. And, you know, there's been differences on policy. Doug Beattie wanted to take the Ulster Unionist Party into opposition at Stormont rather than be part of the executive, and felt that the Ulster Unionist Party would play a more valuable role leading that opposition, which is now headed by the SDLP. So policy differences, personality differences, candidate selection differences, the sum of the parts is that the Ulster Unionist Party will be looking at its seventh leader in the last 14 years, and no credible political party can have so many changes of leadership.
His statement is an unusual one in that he goes on to say leading the UUP has been at times lonely and isolating.
That's been the case for a succession of Ulster Unionist Party leaders because they don't necessarily get the backing from local constituencies who guard their autonomous status jealously. He could have expected, I think, Doug Beattie, better support from fellow party officers, but there was quite a big row within the party as to what to do, as to whether to go into opposition or whether to go into the party executive after the last assembly election. But the timing is terrible for the party, just as it looked as if the party was recovering, getting a seat back at Westminster, which is hugely important to the Ulster Unionist Party. Doug Beattie has had enough. He talked initially about shrinking to grow the party. Finally, it looked like that shrinking process might be over, and now he quits. And the problem is, yes, he has a deputy leader who will almost certainly replace him in Robbie Butler. But let's face it, the talent pool is not great there. The Ulster Unionist Party has 9 members of the Northern Ireland Assembly. 5 have already done the job. A majority of those Assembly members have already done the job of leader. There's only 4 left who haven't done the job. That shows, the Ulster Unionist Party is very good at acquiring leaders. It's not been very good at acquiring followers over the last couple of decades.
Talk to us about Doug Beattie, because quite early on in his time as leader, he was at the centre of a controversy over a series of tweets he'd sent in the past.
Yes, he was accused of misogyny with those tweets, and he apologised in a very fulsome fashion for those tweets, which were completely unacceptable. That could have been a resignation issue. His political future as leader was at stake, but he survived that. He was, although he comes from a military background, socially, he's been the most liberal leader of the Ulster Unionist Party that we've seen. His military background led him to favour some candidates who were from a similar background, perhaps most famously or infamously in the view of critics. He was very much a fan of the endorsement of Tim Collins, former colonel in the British Army, in North Down at the recent general election. That was a selection that backfired disastrously. Tim Collins came a poor third, and there was some criticism of Doug Beattie as a consequence of that. Doug Beattie was a moderniser in many ways of the Ulster Unionist Party. He wanted to change it, and he refused point blank to join the DUP in walking out of the institutions in protest at the EU Northern Ireland Protocol, followed by the Windsor Framework. Doug Beattie argued it's much better to stay in at Stormont and try and revise the protocol, try and revise post-Brexit trading arrangements for Northern Ireland. He suffered a lot of derision from fellow unionists for that, but it was a principled stance that he was determined to maintain. Whether the Ulster Unionist Party will now go in a more right-wing direction is less clear. I doubt it under Robbie Butler. The issue with Robbie Butler as a potential replacement, he is the current deputy leader, as I say, is whether he is tough enough to deal with a party that does border on the unmanageable at times.
Thank you very much for joining us. That was John Tong, who's Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. Well, for more, joining us also is Ulster Unionist Party MLA Mike Nesbitt. He's a former leader of the UUP and currently Minister of Health at Stormont. Thanks for taking our call this afternoon. I know we originally planned to talk about the Second World War bomb in Newton Arts, and we can come to that. But I have to ask, what do you make of Doug Beattie's decision?
Well, Rachel, it has come as a shock to me. As you reference, I'm now Minister for Health and the Northern Ireland Executive, so somewhat semi-detached from the ins and outs of party business. But even if it was across the detail, I made a commitment when I joined the party in 2010 that we would never wash our dirty linen in public. But, I mean, John Tong has given you his analysis of the situation, and I'm not going to argue with him.
What's going on, though, within the party, people will wonder, when so quickly after the UUP managed to return to Westminster, the leader steps down?
Well, that's an internal matter, Rachel, and I'm really, as I said, I'm not prepared to start speculating on the whys and wherefores. That's something that will have to be addressed internally, and we have a challenge.
Without going into all of that, then, are you sorry to see Doug Beattie go?
I am, because I was the man who brought Doug Beattie into the party. His first engagement was at a party conference when he was speaking at a fringe event. He was so impressive that when I got the leadership, one of my first determinations was to try and attract him in as an elected representative. And I've been very supportive of him down the years, and I'm very sorry to see him step down.
Are there any circumstances under which you would consider returning as leader?
I am, I think, less than 3 months into my role as Minister for Health. I find it a very challenging and absorbing preoccupation. So I can tell you quite honestly, Rachel, I haven't given that a millisecond's thought.
All right. Can we talk then about Newton Arts? 400 homes have been evacuated because of the discovery of this unexploded bomb dating back to the Second World War. How long, as you understand it, are people likely to be out of their homes?
Well, the official line is that it could take 5 days, but I've been speaking to some of the residents who have had to evacuate the properties. And that is one of the concerns, is that is it going to be 5 days or is it going to be a lot longer? And these residents are in shock because nobody expected this phase of the development of Rivenwood to reveal a very large German bomb from the Second World War. And that's led to a lot of uncertainty. So, for example, is it going to be 5 days or longer? Does my insurance cover me for this event? What about my young children? And a particular problem is pets. A lot of people are very concerned about what's going to happen to their pets. Now, I know the council are pulling out all the stops. The local leisure centre is available to residents, and there is an area where pets can be, where pets can remain for the duration of this. The big problem is they have to be accompanied by the owners 24/7, and that means you can't go to work if you're looking after the pet at the leisure centre.
Presumably, this is likely to be quite a sensitive operation, carrying out this controlled explosion.
Yeah, and I think we're very lucky because, as I understand it, the man who was driving the digger which uncovered the bomb was a very experienced person who realised immediately what it was. Now, maybe a younger, less experienced person might have decided to give it a hit to try and dislodge it because they weren't aware of what it was. So I know the experts are there and they're going to take their time to do their very best to make sure that this is a controlled explosion and minimum damage is caused to the houses in that vicinity.
Mike Nesbitt, thanks very much for joining us.